So there's two young men, and they're actually part of a what was it? What was the tribe that they belonged to? It wasn't Navajo, it was Mohawk. So there's two young men, they're brothers, they're aged 17 and I think 19. They're part of the Mohawk tribe. I don't know where they live, except that I think they live in New Mexico, but I'm not sure if they live on a reservation or in some town. Anyway, they thought that they would check out Colorado State University. So they emailed the school and they said, okay, your tour is coming up on such and such a date and time, be on campus. So they get the car, they drive about 7, 8 hours up there, and then they join the tour, which was already in progress. You know how there's usually a student walking people around, and the parents are usually up front asking good questions, and the students are usually a step or two behind the parents with their heads down going, oh, I can't believe these people. So that's kind of what one of those two campus tours looks like. And these two young men who are wearing black t-shirts, but I don't think there was anything peculiar or particular about their appearance. They had blue jeans on, looked like rock and roll style t-shirts. One of them had longer hair than the other, but that's how they looked. So anyway, they come upon the crowd of people that are doing the tour. They joined it already in progress. And one of the moms, who was probably up front and was dressed for hiking and was asking meaningful questions about tuition and academic assistance. So one of the moms notices that these two young men have joined the group. She's a little alarmed, and she calls 911.
If it's nothing, I'm sorry, but it actually made me feel sick. And I've never felt like that.
Are they white males?
I think they're Hispanic, I believe. One of them for sure. He said he's from Mexico.
The brothers are musicians and members of the Mohawk tribe. They drove about 7 hours from their home in New Mexico to take the tour. Officers let the 17 and 19-year-olds go only after they showed an email confirming their tour schedule.
Play that again just so I can hear the very first of it, Ella. The beginning, she said she felt sick to her stomach. She said, if there's nothing to this, fine, but I just feel like I should tell you all.
If it's nothing, I'm sorry, but it actually made me feel sick. And I've never felt like that.
So that's the mom. And then the dispatcher says, are they white guys? She says, no, I think they're Mexican or whatever.
He said he's from Mexico.
Yeah.
New Mexico in the United States.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sort of touched by these young men, a 17 and 19-year-old brother who say, hey, let's go check out that school. Let's drive. We'll go check out the campus on our own. Don't you wish your kids would do that? And there they are on their own joining the tour, only then to have the cops show up. Asked to see the email. And by the way, I was thinking about the Starbucks Philadelphia story when I was watching this morning, because my view of when the police arrived in Philadelphia was that everybody was pretty chill about it, right? Like the lady behind the counter at Starbucks overreacted. I don't know what her deal was, but she calls the cops. The police show up. Those two guys stand up. They weren't screaming. They weren't resisting. The cops seemed to be pretty, there was about a dozen cops there, right? And then they all kind of walk out, and you know how that story ends. In this case, the police officer shows up, and he says, hey, talk. He looks at the email. He says, okay, well, thank you for showing that to me. Sorry for the inconvenience. You can rejoin the group. I mean, that's what it was like in this case.
I just hope the woman was relieved after that, because you got a feel for her being nervous around those guys, right? I mean, what was she nervous about? I don't get it.
Can't help you on that. I cannot help you on that. I cannot help you on that. Thank God they weren't Muslims, right?
Oh my God.
But here's the thing.
It's on pins and needles, I guess.
Here's the thing. When you drive to the airport, you see signs along the way saying, if you see something, say something.
Right, that's immediately what I thought of. But people are maybe overreacting a little bit.
I know that, but I mean, so think about that. Listen, we're all on the same page. This lady is hysterical and out of bounds, right? But at least everybody else seemed to behave reasonably thereafter. It didn't escalate into something ridiculous. The only thing that was ridiculous was this lady calling 911. I feel sick to my stomach. There's boys in this tour group, and their skin isn't completely white.
They don't look like me.
I don't know
what
to do.
They don't look like me.
Well,
they're not even wearing sensible sandals.
in her defense, she doesn't sound that hysterical. I think calling the cops is a pretty...
How often have you called the cops in your life? There has to be something dramatic going on in
only
your
time,
life. Actually.
I know, really. Well, the only time I... Go ahead, Violetta. What?
I've seen someone passed out where I call the cops.
Okay, fine. That makes
sense. And I'm like, I don't know if he's okay or not. I don't know if he's sleeping in the grass, but I drove by and I
saw
this
guy.
Fair
enough. Right. That guy may be dead. He might be dying. Let's help him out. That's a good call.
And then I also saw a couple fighting once, and I saw them going into their house, and I called.
You know the point. The point is, those are all reasons to call 911.
But even if you just had a bad feeling about something, I mean, she did premise it with, hey, this might be nothing.
That's why I'm
asking. But I just want to say, I have to tell you about this.
Calling the police and say, you know what, I've got a little nervous feeling about this person. But they don't have the same color skin as me, so let's call the cops.
Hold on. But how do you know, right? I mean, there are the guy that was walking with bombs in his backpack before the Boston Marathon several years ago looked like just another guy, but in retrospect, he looked a little shady, and he had a hoodie, and he had a backpack, or some kid walks into a school, and he looks a little nervous, and you've got a bad feeling in your stomach, and you don't say anything. You don't say anything, you don't say anything. So now, this is the conundrum that some of us face, right? If you saved a terrible thing, you'd be a hero. But if you don't, then we're going to hear like this sportsman we have on the radio, and you criticize somebody who was trying to do the right thing. So how do you know?
Also, she did not say what they look like. She was asked what they look like because they need to know what the people look like when they approach the situation
and
who
they're
looking for.
Okay, fine. Then I'm cool with her calling it. It's like so ridiculous. It's like, I'm fine, whatever. Well, let's just all start calling the cops now.
I know.
About these, anytime you feel uneasy about any situation.
I'm sorry her radar was that bad. How about that, Kevin?
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's a good way of putting it. She was... I mean, yeah, I guess we weren't there, and it's easy to just criticize her and maybe this overreaction from her. But, yeah.
Because you notice the only thing that the dispatch operator asked, like, okay, how will we gauge the seriousness of this is, are they white? That's the only thing they had to go on. She didn't say, well, does it look like they have weapons? Or, you know, I don't know, what else you might have used to indicate that these guys are up to no good other than they drove cross-country and are a little late. The only thing she had to go on was the color of their skin. That's all, based on that phone call we heard, that's all she had.
Well, based on that clip, correct. But I'm sure that was a longer conversation.
I'm impressed, too, again, as happened in Philadelphia, that if you see something as moderately troubling as black men won't leave a Starbucks, or some Native American men have joined a college campus tour late, I'm amazed that the cops show up that quick. You know, I didn't know that cops were the... God bless you, cops. You got a lot to do. I didn't know you were storming down the street to find out what's going on in the restroom of a Starbucks. Or... somebody in Colorado joined a tour late. Really? You're going to respond to that?
I wonder if they also talked to the tour guide, like, hey, would you mind asking these guys, like, do they have tickets? Or I wonder if there was anything done before she just snuck off.
That's the thing. Like, everyone's so afraid to talk to other people. Like, maybe if she just had a conversation with the guys for not even a conversation.
Right. Like hey, where are you guys coming from? Mexico or New Mexico?
But instead, you know what? Get the phone out. Let's call this one in, guys.
And where is she calling from? Like, did she go to the bathroom?
I think she was whispering up front where she was, you know, two steps behind asking good questions of the tour guide.
Ma'am, we're going to need you to get off the phone. This is an important part of the tour. And I'm calling the cops right now.
I'm calling the cops. There are people behind us and they don't have white skin. Did you notice them? They're walking suspiciously. Actually, they're walking like all the other kids, but they're right there.
Get over here quickly. They're not white.
And they keep following us.
Okay, so props props to those two young men. Their mother has just now been able to join us. Lorraine, are you there? This is John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Really good. We are absolutely perplexed by this story, Lorraine.
So are we.
And I'd hope to get you on a little sooner, so I'll just real quick ask a couple quick questions and maybe we'll catch up on another day. But my understanding is that the university has apologized. They said, come back for VIP treatment. We did not mean to, target these young men in any way. Where are they, your sons, on this? Or where are you on this story right now?
Well, first of all, it was very traumatizing for the boys and for our family, and actually, quite frankly, for our community. that kind of invitation, which is their way of making amends, it feels like returning a victim to the scene of the crime. And it's, I, you know, it's something that they may eventually decide they want to go back to do. But right now, it's just, not our idea of making amends at this time.
Are you guys pursuing any legal action in this case?
We haven't even, I'm not going to say we haven't thought of it. There's lots of people who are trying to encourage us to go that way. But really, we're not in this, we're not exposing this for monetary gain or for attention or fame or anything like that. We're wanting to make people aware of this so that hopefully it doesn't happen to your child someday.
You know what I was likening it to before we got you on the line was what happened at the Starbucks in Philadelphia. And it's
not a lot of people have been
saying that. And, you know, maybe it's an indictment of Starbucks, but I don't know that Starbucks was a terrible company. And I don't know that Colorado State University necessarily, you know, labels Native Americans. It might have just been, you know, one silly woman. That's really all this is about. Do you think it's that?
A lot of people, some people have been saying that, but and I understand that it's not the college's fault that the woman was biased, and it's not the campus police fault that the woman was biased, but how they reacted to her call was wrong. It was inappropriate.
What do you mean by that?
So they took the call, and according to their policy, they have to respond to all 911 calls, regardless of how, you know, trivial it may seem. And but when the police officers track them down, the proper procedure should have been that he approached the tour guide, not that he approached the children. He should have approached the tour guide, mm-hmm. made her aware that a call had been made. And were there any problems within the group? She would have been able to confirm that, yes, they had checked in at admission, they had registered a week in advance, and that, yes, they were on her list of tour guests. And then none of this had to happen. But their immediate response was to frisk my boys.
Yeah.
And make them feel uncomfortable, unwanted. The tour, and you, if you watch the body cam video, mm-hmm. you can see the tour walking down the stairs past them, not even giving them a second glance, and continuing to walk like they were just not.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought, even though this ended without much incident, how humiliating. You're standing there,
right.
And everybody's looking at you, and they're assuming the worst, even though you've done nothing wrong.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
All right, well, our best to your sons. You know, I had a couple kids that went to college, and we had to lead them on tours sometimes. I like the initiative of two young men who decide they're going to drive 8 hours cross country to check out a campus on their own. Everything I know about them so far sounds pretty good.
Yes, we've been getting thousands of messages of well wishes from people all over the world. It's a little bit overwhelming for us, but for the most part, the response has been positive for us.
Lorraine Gray, our best to your sons. Maybe we'll visit again and see what happens with all of this. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
It's 2:52. This is WGN.